invite you to turn your Bibles, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Been referring to this passage quite a bit here lately, and this is a message the Lord laid upon my heart. My intention was to preach it last Sunday, but the Lord knew what he wanted. And so today we're going to deal with this subject. And it's apropos for us observing the supper this morning, too. The title of the message is The Second Death. The Second Death. Or a subtitle to that would be How to Get Out of This Life Alive. The Second Death. It's a real thing. And the scripture of the Lord tells us about it indeed. We see here in Genesis chapter 2 the command of the Lord unto our father Adam. And it says in verse number 16, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And as I was thinking about the message this morning, and reviewing my notes and such, you know, Adam was the only one that died in the reverse order. He died spiritually, and then later on died physically. You and I, we were born dead spiritually, and then we die physically first. And then for the unbelieving, the second death, as we'll see. So here, the first promise of death from the Lord, don't eat of that tree. And of course, we know that Adam did eat of the tree, and he did so willingly. He did so with knowledge. Woman was deceived. The scripture tells us that, but Adam was not. And so, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And what happened in that is all of us died too. Every one of us in the loins of Adam died. And that's really a remark. Of all the billions of people that have lived, we were in Adam that day when he disobeyed God. And so death has come upon us. Romans chapter 5, another passage that speaks to us about this. And there's a great interjection here that Paul puts in. We're not going to read that and tell some more greater detail about how this is with death, the law. That's where he's heading forward and dealing with in Romans, is about the law, one aspect of it. But in Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, the scripture says, Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and that's Adam, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The indication there is that Adam was brought to life. He disobeyed God. God told him the promise that if he ate of that tree, he would surely die. And he died spiritually that day because he was found hiding from God when God came into the garden to visit with him and his wife. And so we see the manifestation of that. But then, you know, Abel died. And Cain ultimately died. And more children died. And we in the scripture, we have a recurring line of and statements that are made about the time that folks lived and that they died. A death indeed reigned. Now, there was no Bible. There was no law of God written down, but people died. And that death of individuals is a testimony to the fact that sin was there, permeating them and all through them. We go here, death by sin, so death passed upon all men because that all had sinned. We're all sinners. That's the terribleness of sin, and that's the terribleness that one man could condemn all the human race by one transgression. That's how holy God is. It speaks to us about that too. We come on down here to, here's the interjection here is, and supporting thought and words are from verse 13 down through verse 17, but we'll just skip down to verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. One man sinned, and judgment has come upon all of us to condemnation. Just naturally, as we are naturally, if we continue on in our natural way alone, we will come before the condemnation of God just because of Adam's sin. Now, all have sinned. We've got our own sins too. But that's the terribleness of sin and the far-reaching ramifications of sin. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. Now enters in the second Adam. It speaks up here in verses 13 through 17 about how he is Adam. Number one, the first Adam is a picture of the Adam to come. And so now, one sin condemned us all. We have our own sins too that condemn us, but one sin led us into this. But then the second Adam, he comes in, and by his obedience, one sin did us all in, and by the obedience of the second Adam, all our sins can be taken care of, and many of Adam's children can be brought to justification, made just as if we never sinned. That's what, when you hear that word justification, that's what that means. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the of one, the free gift came upon all men to unto justification of life. His righteousness makes us justified, and life, justification of life. We live, okay, being just wrapped up in the death because of sin. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Christ, shall many be made righteous. Okay, so that comparison. So one man did in billions or more of people, And his disobedience did that to all of us. By the obedience of Christ, many are made righteous. The first Adam and the second Adam. Adam made us sinners, and we have our own guilt. Don't say we cannot lay all the blame on Adam because we're willing. Okay. So by the obedience of one shall be many be made righteous. Moreover, the law, verse 20, entered that the offense might abound. That's the reason the Lord gave the law to Moses and to Israel, to mankind, that it might be shown that we're guilty, how the disobedience works, what the disobedience is, what God's looking at in mankind. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God, the Father, was willing to send the Son. The Son was willing to come. He became a man so he could be a suitable sacrifice for us freely, without even a request from us. As you hear me say, and if so, we didn't even know we had a problem. But he was gracious, merciful, and came willingly. And in his design, in his plan. Verse number 21, that as the sin hath reigned unto death. That's what sin does. It reigns over mankind. It's got us in bondage. There's no escape from it. Naturally, it reigns. It is supreme. It is superior to us. It's got its hooks and its claws in us. We cannot get loose. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace, the graciousness of the Lord, reign through righteousness unto eternal life. There's life again, eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So physical death comes upon all. And you and I are not going to get out of here alive, physically. But you know what? There's something worse than that. As bad as that is, there's something worse than that. And that's our focus for this morning. In Revelation chapter 20, we read this. And it's interesting how it's not until the revelation of the Lord Jesus unto John and us, there as John's on the Isle of Patmos. We read this in Revelation chapter 20. We pick it up in verse number 11. Those who are not saved, those who have not repented and believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and to the salvation of their souls, those that have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, but yet look to and trust in their own righteousness, their own way. Those that have rejected the Savior, the Word, the will, the way of the Lord, they face something even worse than physical death. And that is this. It says in verse number 11, "And I saw a great white throne," Revelation 20, "and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven, the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them." What was just seen in the previous passage earlier in the chapter was that all the earth is destroyed. All the creation is destroyed. There is no place, there is no place for anyone to go or to be other than before the Lord. I find that very interesting. "And there was no place for them," the earth and the heaven. They were gone. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." The dead here is speaking about those who are spiritually dead yet. Not the saved. Not the redeemed. Not those justified that we read about over in Romans chapter 5. But the dead, spiritually separated, alienated, in their trespasses and sins, small and great, the unknown and the most known, the whole spectrum of humanity. It's saved people, or poor people are not saved because they're poor, and rich people are not saved because they're rich. Sinners are not saved because they don't repent and believe and trust in Christ. We've seen in the Scripture kings of the world being saved. And then we've seen the most obscure, unknown person, uncounted person in the world being saved. Repentant sinners are saved. But here we have the unsaved, the dead, small and great. Now, they have died physically. But here, this is speaking about they who are spiritually dead. Rather than being alive in Christ, they have no connection to Christ. "Small and great stand before God, and the books were open." I believe that's speaking of the Scripture. "And another book was open, which was the book of, which is the book of life, and that book is belongs to the Lord. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." So everyone that comes up before this great, great white throne is judged by what they have done. There's nothing else to judge them for. There's no relationship with God or His Son. There's been no rescue. There's been no repentance. There's been no faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All they have is how they live their lives. And they're judged out of the things written in the Bible, the remembrance and the recording of God, and the book of life that is the Lord's alone. And though and all of this, all of these books are taking what they have done, which is known in intimate detail from their physical outward things that they've done all the way to their heart. They're brought out and they're compared up against these books of God. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." There's no escape. "And death and hell," speaking of the grave, "delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." Jesus is able to do that. We'll see why here in by the end of the message. He's able to take death and the grave and cast it into this lake of fire. They will be no more existent in His creation. They will be there, cast into His eternal place of judgment and condemnation, but they will not exist ever on His earth again, being free and rampant and bringing men into bondage, or bringing His children into bondage, we should say. Death and hell were delivered, and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. The second death. There's physical death that we understand, that we see, and that we know about. Our loved ones have passed. Our brothers and sisters have passed on. Their mortal bodies have quit working. God has brought that to an end of their physical life. But there is the second death, which is eternal, forever and ever and ever and ever. There is no escape. There is no relief. There is no changing it. There is no modifying it. We see also in chapter 21, in verse number 7, "He that overcometh," Jesus saith, "shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Oh, praise the Lord for his rescue and his salvation. "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The second death. There's physical death, and we fear it naturally. It's normal to fear physical death. It's in us to live, and that's by the design of the Lord. That's the way it should be. But there is something worse than physical death, and that is the second death. The abominable are there. And all these that are listed, those who love their sin more than they love the light, will be found there in the second death, the lake of fire. Brother Isaiah writes about this place in Isaiah 66:24, "And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." Jesus references this passage in Mark chapter 9, and three times over, he gives warning. Don't, if you've got to do something to get away from sin and the eternal impact and effects of sin, do whatever you've got to do. And he makes the extreme. If you've got to cut off your hand, if you've got to cut off your foot, if you've got to pluck out your eye. Now, none of those things would do it, but he's making that extreme because we think to be maimed, to be to where we couldn't walk well, or to where we couldn't see holy, that would be terrible for any person. He says it's that important to get away from sin. Better for you to enter into life halt and maimed than to go into hell and the lake of fire. And he says three times over, he says there in Mark, "where their worm dieth not," that is the soul, "and the fire is not quenched," dying forever, but never dying. A terrible, terrible place. But you know what? We see also in the Scriptures that there are those who do not die the second death. There are those who do not die the second death. And that's mentioned here in the Scriptures. We come to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. There are those that do not die the second death. Oh, yes, they die physically, but they do not die the second death. And the Lord makes a promise here to a church that as we would look on at this church, we would think that they're weak in that. But the Lord says he knows different. And may the Lord help us that we just continue on, keep on keeping on. Lord, help us to look to him and to keep on keeping on. Look here in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 8. "Unto the angel of the church at Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last," listen, "which was dead and is alive. I know thy works. I know thy tribulation. I know thy poverty. But thou art rich." That's what the Lord says. Oh, in that of earthly goods, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. But you know what? You're rich. "And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, that claim the Lord and are not, Remember, this is New Testament church age, so the language there is something that Jews would understand, but it's speaking to these churches that are in Asia Minor, would be typically Gentile churches. Jews there interspersed. John himself is a Jew, and so the indication that the blasphemy of them that say that they are the Lord's and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan, the stronghold, the working, the wicked infiltration and working of Satan himself. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. A promise of our Lord to we who are in his churches, the overcomers, indeed are those that the Lord tells overcome in his churches. We've been blessed with that. Not all are blessed with that, but we've been blessed with that. And we need to stick with that, what the Lord has given us, and overcome in him. Overcome. Overcome. Our sin has been overcome by the Lord. We've been given life, and death is overcome by him for us. And you know what? The second death can't touch us. It can't touch us. All the first death, we well may die physically. But the second death is far, far away from us, never to be revealed in us at all. The saved. In Revelation chapter 20, we come back to this chapter and read in the earlier part we read earlier. We see this in verse number 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that is, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Who is it that the Lord said will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel? Jesus said that to the apostles, didn't he? And saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, the saints martyred for the sake of the Lord, which had not worshipped the beast. At the advent of the Antichrist, they were faithful unto the Lord, and rather than bowing the knee and bowing to the leader of the world wanted them to do, they submitted not. Neither his image, they didn't bow to the figure made of him by the false prophet. Neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, the identification of the world in that day, were in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. And that's what we read earlier here in the latter part of the chapter. Those that are brought up to the great white throne judgment, those that all are now and will experience the second death until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And that's our key point, the first resurrection. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. So the first resurrection. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. See, there is this first resurrection, and those who are saved by the Lord will experience that first resurrection. We read about it, I believe, in Revelation chapter 14. We come over here and read in this passage in chapter 14, verse number 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, that is Christ, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud, that one like the Son of Man, thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now here's the distinction. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry unto him that had the sharp sickle, the angel with the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Two resurrections. The second resurrection is nothing that anyone wants to have a part of. It is unto judgment and condemnation. And the winepress was trodden without the city. This is a picture of the judgment, the second judgment, the second resurrection. We saw about that second resurrection in Revelation chapter 20, where the dead are brought up out of the sea and they're brought up out of the grave. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even into the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. The first resurrection. We saw in Revelation 20, he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. There are those that who do not die the second death and are a party to that first resurrection by our Lord. You and I, we're more familiar with it like this in 1 Thessalonians 4. We understand it. And the way that it's worded here is indeed such a blessing unto us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read in verse number 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Those that have died, brothers and sisters here in the church that have died and gone on, our loved ones say that have died and gone on, they're going to come back with Christ. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, they died physically. But that's the last death they die. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is that first resurrection. The ones that have part, we that have part in the first resurrection, the second death has no effect, no touch on us. Praise God. So there are those that do not die the second death. Those are the saved. There are those that sleep in Christ Jesus. That's the way the Lord looks at death, physical death. To him, it's sleep. We see that in the days of our Lord, in the days of his ministry, right? Oh, don't mourn for the little girl. She's just asleep. They knew she was dead. But the Lord put them out and went in there and told her to come to stand on her feet. And you know what she did? She did. She stood on her feet because he has the power. Jesus tells us in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. If he lives forever, his own will live forever. We will live as long as Jesus lives. He died once. He'll never die again. So I mentioned to you earlier another title or a subtitle of this message, the main title being The Second Death, or how to get out of this life alive. Well, Brother Jim, you said we're going to physically die. The thing is what about the eternal aspect? How do you get out of this life alive? Don't go to the second death. Be found alive in Christ. How? Because we read it there in 1 Thessalonians, verse number 4. Here's the difference. For if we, verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 4, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Do you believe that Jesus died for you? If you believe that Jesus died for you, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead for you? If you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead for you, that's the difference. That's the difference. He said, these things are contingent. These things that are mentioned about the first resurrection are contingent on what people believe. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So how is it that you get out of this life alive? Believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Lord Jesus himself said in his ministry, the beginning of his public ministry in Mark 1:15, repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe and trust in him. As the scripture says in Romans 10, verses 8 through 11. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Listen, that is the word of faith which we preach. And we preach that. Believe and trust in him, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead for you, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He is the one that I need. He is the one that saves from the second death. He is the one that gives life eternal. You know, it's said, it's the way it is with men, women, boys, and girls. You either die once and are born twice. Die once, or born twice, die once. Or you're born once and die twice. Right? That's what the Lord says. You must be born again. How is it with you? How is it with you? Oh, don't go to the second death. And there is help and hope for you in Christ Jesus to avoid the second death. The Philippian, our brother, the Philippian jailer, as we refer to him in Acts 16, verse 30, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. And then I remember this, what the scripture says, and Brother Paul writes in Romans 8:18. And we, as I mentioned earlier, we fear physical death. It's just a natural thing for us to do so. And we know, we understand. We don't know it personally until it comes to our time, but we know by the testimony of others that when it comes time for physical death for the saints, the Lord gives grace. The Lord gives grace for us to cross over, for him to take us over on the other side, for him to take us up in his arms and carry us on to the other side, to eternity with him. But I remember this that Paul wrote And the Lord tells us in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Sufferings. Not even physical death is not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in those who got out of this life alive in Christ Jesus. Yeah, physical death. It's going to come to us, but having the Lord as Savior, we'll never see the second death. We will live forever with him and be glorified with him and rejoice in him for eternity. The second death, where is it that you stand?